Wow. I've been interrupted three times, and I sat patiently, patiently, didn't say a word in the previous section. But that's a good example, I think. Nevertheless, it's very simple. We don't have to spend the next 30 minutes talking about how.
Point of order. This is Sharon. Please speak to the motion.
Sharon, wait to be recognized. And he was about to begin. You interrupted him when he was turning to speaking about the motion. Please, Dwayne, Dane, let's not provoke each other. Go ahead, Dwayne. Please continue.
Okay. Well, kind of difficult to continue, Mr. Chair, when the public continue to hear the disruption. And I didn't disrupt anybody in the last second.
I appreciate that. And, Mr. Dwayne, I'm going to remind everyone in the committee that the PNB sent this to us with the utmost and instructed us to treat this with the utmost priority. So I'm going to try to take that seriously. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I suspect that this would happen. It's no secret and there's no revelation to me that this.
Okay, Dwayne. Try to
respond to what happened.
I appreciate
that. I'm going to allow other questions. Other discussions, because it's obvious that the obstruction is at hand. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's take a stack. Who would like to be on
point
a stack?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Arpaul. What is your point
of order?
The
point of order is apparently there is a motion. Where is this motion? I don't see this motion. Where is it?
I apologize. That was
how can we debate this one way or another if we don't see a motion?
I appreciate that. I was unable to find it. I know it was there, but I wasn't able to find it in time. I asked if someone could find it and forward it to the committee. Was anyone able to do that?
Right now I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Polina. Yes, thank you for pointing that out, Arpaul. So why don't I take a stack while Polina hopefully gets us that motion as soon as possible? That's Teresa, Alan. Anyone else? Polina. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Mr. Chair,
hello?
I think it's out of order to discuss a motion we don't see.
Okay, well, I'm just taking a stack until we can get it. Polina is going to find it and send it to us.
Hi, this is Lydia, just saying I just got on the call. Sorry.
Oh, hi, Lydia. Thank you.
Sharon for the stack.
Aaron. Lydia, will you have anything to add on this motion for the relief of central services at KPFT?
I just got on. Is this the motion about that was already brought to the PNB and referred back?
Yes, suspending central services for KPFT for 12 months.
Well, as I said on the national board, I mean, all we have to – well, first of all, we have to
– Actually, I was just asking you if you wanted to be on the stack, Lydia.
Because I knew
you had made some cogent
points
when you were there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I believe that the motion was part of the – is recorded in the PNB open session draft minutes. May 21st. Is that correct?
Yes.
Which address should I send it to? Because when I send to the committee, I believe that my email bounced. So who should I forward it to? I just found that those particular minutes.
Well, I forwarded the minutes to NATFINANCE. COM.
Let me. Yeah, F I N A
And that's
UOM. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I presume that's at Pacifica.
No, it's not. It's yahoo.group.com.
Oh, yes, that's right. Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I believe my email is bounced. Let me try. I'm doing it right now. Send me. Let me know when you get it.
Dwayne, if this doesn't work, are you in a position to do it? I know he's on your phone, Polina.
Right, but Dwayne is independent on his own. I mean, he's on my call, but he can speak for himself.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's why I was asking him. I didn't know if he could do it through your phone that way. Of course, he could email it to us.
So that email has been sent. So far, it hasn't bounced. But if it would be helpful, I could read the motion. In the meantime,
I'm sure that would be helpful because we would do it anyway. So let's do that.
Hit the mailing list.
Oh, thank you, Arpa. I do see it. Yes.
Great. Okay. And the motion is in the minutes, and it starts. Dwayne, would you like to read your own motion? Whereas KPFC Houston. Maybe he's still on the call is a good question. I'm not sure if Dwayne is still on the call. He might have dropped off. Yeah,
okay.
We lost. Dwayne, are you there? Let me try calling him back.
All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to ask the secretary if he'd be willing to read it.
You can't hear me?
Oh, we can hear you now. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I don't have it up. Let Polina read it or the secretary.
Okay, I'll read it.
Sure. Fine.
Whereas KPFT Houston has struggled financially in all phases of finances, however, it has dutifully sacrificed to meet its financial commitments to the foundation's national office, whereas this has caused KPFT to neglect infrastructure and employees' needs, the time has come for special consideration of its neglected status. Therefore, I move that KPFT be exempted from its national office commitment for a period of 12 months. In addition to this, that upon the foundation receiving the anticipated stimulus funds, that KPFT's infrastructure and equipment deficiencies be given utmost priorities in any disbursements to the foundation, subsidiaries, or stations. Signed, Dwayne Mark.
And
I didn't receive that email, so I guess that means I'm not on the list.
Yes, that's correct. I've sent you a number of requests to get on the list. I'll send you another one.
And I responded twice. So
yeah, and you wrote back accept, and another time you referenced something else. And I sent you a third way to do it, and you got to respond to it, okay? Anyway, right now, Mr. Chair, is this motion on the floor?
Dwayne, do you are you making – yes, you're going to – Dwayne, did you – are you making this motion?
Yes.
For discussion.
Polina seconds, and I asked for the stack earlier, please.
Yes, you did, and there's no seconds in committee, as I understand. So no. Go ahead, Polina.
Thank you.
Polina, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When I took the stack, you were second. Teresa was the first on the stack.
All right.
Teresa?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm not on a mobile, so I can't tell when I'm muted. All right. I agree with Dwayne on one thing. I think neither of us want hypocrisy. Okay? My highest priorities are that we have relevant programming on our airwaves, and especially in this time of this pandemic, it is especially essential that we have relevant programming. A second thing is I want us to be able to pay our bills so we can put that programming out on the airwaves. I have been involved in a cap. We had a capital campaign at KPFT before. We raised $75,000. It was before our current development director. And when we needed $100,000, I think it was between our development director and our general manager at the time that we decided not to have a capital campaign. We could still have a capital campaign, as far as I'm concerned, if we had someone to lead that capital campaign. I didn't have a chance to discuss that with Jack Valinsky when he was the interim general manager. I haven't had a chance to discuss it with our current IGM. But that might be a good idea if we can tell our listeners specifically what we would do with that money. And I thank our foundation for loaning that $100,000 to us, and that's why it was the highest priority for us to pay it back. In regard to this motion, though, Director Lark has not discussed it with any of the other PNB directors. He did not discuss it with our local station board. He did not discuss it with the chair of our board. To my knowledge, he didn't discuss it with the interim general manager. The interim general manager did not discuss it with us. You know, and at our last finance meeting, Director Lark brought up the fact that we were having financial difficulties and said that we did not have a fundraising group. We do have a fundraising group. It is called a development working group. We've been calling it a development committee, but it is a subcommittee of our local station board, which is a committee of the foundation, actually. And I am open. In fact, at that finance committee meeting, I made a challenge, which Mr. Lark did not respond to. So I challenge you now, Mr. Lark, to work with me.
Point of personal privilege, please. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Your name was mentioned. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My name's been mentioned at least four or five times, and I was admonished and corrected by both members, one from KFA, FA, and this one that's talking now about what's germane to the point. Hypocrisy is blatant because this member has not spoken at all to this motion, to her preamble. But I accept the challenge no more than I accept the fact that the development committee is not a fundraising committee. In fact,
okay, Dwayne, now you're arguing. I'm going to take your point of order and rule in favor of it that all members should refrain from directly calling out other directors by name. And Dwayne, when it's your turn to argue again, you can make those other arguments.
All right, well, yeah. I'll say some director brought this to the Pacifica National Board without discussing it with our local station board, with any of the other PNB directors. Some director did that, and that is not productive. And I made a challenge to every member of our local station board, and I will put it in writing. I will approach 10 people because I believe in this station, and I believe that we should have relevant programming and that we should pay our bills. So I will ask 10 of my friends to give money. And if every 24 of the people on our local station board will do that, then we will come up with some money. And I believe it is important for our board members to speak positively about what our station can do, rather than running around and insinuating that most of the board are just white supremacists or something. So I believe
that
in
an admission
statement,
or what?
And I am, pardon me?
No cross talk. Please,
yes, he's, Mr. Chair,
please try not to engage in name calling. Please continue, but try not to name names and engage in name calling.
I have a plan, and I would gladly meet with any director that wants to meet with me. And I disagree with the accusation that our development subcommittee or working group is not concerned about raising money. And I have spoken with our IGM about it, and I would be happy to meet someone halfway if they would meet me halfway. We certainly do, in my opinion, do not need to be relieved of paying our central services, because I do not want us looked at as people who are irresponsible. I think we can raise the money if we have faith in the station. So I would say, I'm sorry, we should not be relieved of this responsibility, and I hope that every one of the people on our local station board comes to meet this challenge to raise money, rather than just, you know, whining or trying to pass the buck. So let's work with our IGM. Let's get our IGM and let's talk about how we can raise this money. Thank you very much for your patience.
Thank you. And I just want to ask again that we not, you know, characterize each other as whining and other such characterizations. And that goes for everybody, please. Okay, next is Paulina.
Thank you. Member who was speaking previously mentioned relevant programming. We are in the middle of the fund drive. So how would you feel as a listener listening to KPFK or KPFD or any other station asking you for money, and then the next thing you hear is, oh, by the way, yesterday's event that happened January 28th was great. And this is what's happening at KPFT. It's what's happening, KPFK is not free of that issue as well, especially with fundraising programming. So what's happening? Why I think Dwayne's motion is so important. KPFT specifically has issues with its building, and the building is, by some, it felt not to be safe to go into. It probably isn't, right? I believe there are documented asbestos and other issues. And there isn't an engineer on the premises 24/7. Lots of programmers would love to do live pitches and ask for money and ask for support and, do their programs as they're accustomed to doing, which is live. And not pre-recorded, and there isn't an engineer to assist them in that matter. So that is dire. That is unacceptable. Whether it's a violation of FCC rules or not, it's just unacceptable. And so I wholeheartedly support Dwayne's proposition. And then as far as how is it going to be dealt with, KPFT is one of the slimmer stations. It doesn't have that much staff. It needs more. We might need fewer. That's a matter of opinion, and I'm not going to go further on that. But we can figure out how the budgeting should be adjusted to make sure that a station that has so much potential, whose local station board members present on this call are purporting to say that they care so much about relevant programming. Relevant programming is local programming. And if we are to continue to further the mission of Pacifica, our public affairs programming needs to be relevant, local, and up to date, and not from January of this year. And so that's where I'll stop.
Thank you, Paulina. Next is Sharon.
Okay, yes. So I'm looking at the minutes from the PNB open session, and I see that it was referred to the Finance Committee, and the PNB instructs the Finance Committee to prioritize this issue and report back to the PNB within 2 months. So it really wasn't an absolute necessity to get this on the agenda tonight, and it wasn't at the level of priority that has been sort of thrown around on this call. We have a whole 2 months to discuss this issue, and I think we should take some time and think about this issue quite a lot before we proceed forward, because we were given 2 months to do this. That was a procedural point, and then I just wanted to say that we do have a loan $3.2 million loan that is coming due in a very short time, less than a year. We have unpaid funds to the auditor and to NETA. And I do find, I found the discussion earlier about the money that was being used to pay the auditors from the sale of Nakapon, I found that was interesting because I do happen to know that the auditors are due money, so apparently they have not been paid from the proceeds from the sale of Nakapon. But anyway, point is that there's many, many unpaid bills, and the only way to pay those bills is through central services. So I don't understand how it is that in an organization that is attempting to be financially responsible, the other member was suggesting adding staff, the person that was just speaking, suggesting potentially adding an engineer at KPFT, so in other words, adding expenses, while at the same time also apparently agreeing that KPFT should not be paying its central services payments. I mean, it just doesn't make financial sense. I don't understand how people think that this is going to work out if you keep increasing costs and then the stations don't pay into central services. There's no money to pay our vendors, to pay NETIS, to pay the auditors. And as far as why this motion is happening, it was interesting that the proponent of the motion was saying, oh, well, other stations don't pay their central services, and we all know that's true, and we all know it's WBAI who hasn't paid. I know they pay, are paying some, but there's a large amount of money owed from WBAI. I believe it was $294,000 at the last report that WBAI owes in its central services payments, and that excludes its payments that it also owes for PRA, which I don't have that in front of me. So in other words, I don't understand why we need a motion. I don't understand why it is that WBAI would have to carry a debt on its books. It's accruing a debt every month. It doesn't pay its central services. But for some reason, we're going to, in the midst of this financial crisis, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a downturn of revenue across all the stations, we're going to exempt another station from paying central services. It doesn't make financial sense in any way at all. And I don't see the urgency for it, especially when I'm looking at the two-month thing right here on the motion from the PNB. So those are my comments on this.
Thank you, Sharon. Actually, Lydia is next. Did I hear a point of something?
A point of personal privilege. Paulina and Sharon, they were breaking up. I don't know what's happened to the quality of the phone system, but perhaps it would be best if more people mute or something.
Sharon, just for your information, I hear you breaking up, but no, I didn't hear anyone else breaking up. So it may be your phone. Perhaps you could check your battery or your connection.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, Lydia, please.
That wasn't Sharon speaking, though.
Oh, who was that?
That was Teresa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. Okay, so I, as I said on the PMB meeting, that I wholeheartedly understand where Dwayne is coming from. The reality is all we have right now is monopoly money. And so I think, you know, we can reconsider this when we get the loans, when we do more fundraising. I'll be dropping an appeal to our members by the end of the week or the beginning of next week. And we'll see what that brings in. But what I said was, with something like the issues of asbestos, which, by the way, I just got the survey for it and sent it to James, as a matter of fact, to tell me what it means. Anyway, and when that kind of thing comes up and I get estimates, right, as to remedying that situation, I would find a way to raise money and pay that. I mean, we would have to carve that out. Anything that's danger to the employees and so forth, as opposed to this motion right now, which I'm not opposed to some central services relief. Nobody's been more diligent than KPFT some of the other stations, including KPFA, pays it in two parts and blah, 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 and sometimes it's the next month and whatever. And all of the stations, you know, tend to do that. KPFT is really prompt, always has been, and really diligent, and they deserve some consideration. As I had said before, when we get the loans, and let's hope that's really soon, that relieves those stations that are up to date of their on their central services. That gives them extra money because we would have to cover the payroll for 2.5 months out of that loan. It's just, you know, how the loan was crafted. So there's some relief there. And as I said, we would have to find a way to pay those as those bills come in for something that's that critical to allow them to come back into the station. And then I do also favor having a capital campaign that we can start down the line. Well, not very far down the line, because we have to consider whether it's worth fixing up this station or moving into another property that seems to be very conducive to hosting the station, to having the station there and selling the property where we are. So all of those decisions have to be made. But I would say that it doesn't make sense just right now, because we haven't gotten the loans, we haven't gotten any money from fundraising to compensate for central services. It used to be, and I don't know what's happened on the PMB since, but it used to be that if you made a motion, you had to say where you're getting the money to compensate for whatever it is you were proposing. In this case, you have 12 months of no central services from KPFT, you have to name where you're going to get the money for to compensate for the other issues. Let me also inform the Finance Committee, the first one to hear this, even before the PMB. I haven't even sent that because I don't have a resolution to it yet. But we got a notice from CPB on Friday that we're going to lose our music licensing through them by May 31st. This was the first I've ever heard about this issue. And apparently it's something that was brewing since 2013. And from all the research I did over the weekend, it seems that Pacifica's position or understanding has always been that we didn't have to pay the $130,000 that is due until we got back into the position where we get the major grants from CPB. So that's why no one apparently has ever brought it. I shouldn't say ever, but for the most part, has never brought it to anyone's attention. And it's due by Friday. So I am, needless to say, calling CPB and trying to contact, waiting for a call back to work something out, because after all of this time, not having received any notices that I know of, other than this one, that it didn't give us any time to deal with it. So for those
point
reasons,
of personal privilege, I just did, sorry, oh. This is Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. Just please wait to be recognized. What is your point of personal privilege?
I just didn't hear. I didn't hear the amount that we owe to CPB by May 31st.
Yeah, it's like $130,000. And you know, like with a little bit more time, I think everybody could have just pitched in for it. But to do this on the holiday week by Friday, and we just got this Friday night. It's really a challenge. So I have been on the phone, including with Foster Garvey. I mean, you know, anyway, trying to deal with this, just trying to buy us more time. But that's critical. KPFT, all of us, especially KPFT and WPFW, who are music stations, but all of us use music that's ASCAP and, you know, requires the licensing. So we can't be without it. So these are the kinds of things that come out of the central services that are paid at the station. So I honor what Dwayne has done, but and I appreciate it. It's just the timing is just not great. And I'm not saying it needs to take 2 months, but I'm hoping that we have enough to cover this and to cover so many other pressing issues, and I think that right now we just can't afford to make central services cuts to that degree, just to that degree. But any of these expenses to repair the station, of course, we will do the same thing, is just raise money, contribute to it, whatever, to get those things repaired in the interim until we can, you know, it's not totally unreasonable to forego some central services for a station. We've done it for BAI. We could do it for a short time, whatever. But I would say right now is not the time.
Thank you, Lydia. Nancy, I heard you. I just want to say before you speak that I believe we are approaching our time certain, and if anybody would want to extend time, now would be the time to do it.
But, Mr. Chair?
Yes? Yes?
I would like to, all right, given what the interim executive director has just said, I would really prefer to make a motion to extend for 15 minutes and make the and basically end this item, rear it is, just leave it, and discuss what the IED has just said about losing the music license. I don't know if everybody understands what that would do, the gigantic hit we would take from that. I'll make a motion. It's undebatable. We'll see what everybody wants. So I move to extend for 15 minutes. And to discuss possible loss of the CPB, what is it called, music license.
I second that.
And no second required in committee. Is there anyone who opposes that? Hearing none, I want to
Paulina,
recognize Nancy,
sorry,
the timekeeper.
Paulina. Paulina, okay. I would oppose leaving the topic that we've been discussing without first consulting with the proponent of the motion that was brought to us from the PND. Maybe we could come to a quick resolution. I would love to hear from Dwayne before we move on to a different topic.
I think our timekeeper is about to tell us that we're out of time. We have a motion on the floor. And I did hear the timekeeper, so I want to just recognize her and see what she has to say, and then let's just hear what the timekeeper has to say, please.
Yes, we are way past time on the item that had 30 minutes.
Okay, and now, R. Paul, would you, I realize this is not proper procedure, but would you allow me to hear from Dwayne? I get it.
This is a motion. People can vote for it or against it and decide.
Okay.
Are we voting now?
I think we have to go to a vote. That is the parliamentary procedure.
Okay. The motion is to extend the time for the meeting by 15 minutes and make the item under discussion the CPB music issue. Okay, please answer, and this requires a two-thirds vote. When you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Nick Arena. Theresa J. Allen.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Dwayne Lark.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims, Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
That was a yes?
Yes.
Paulina Vasiliev.
It's a yes, and I withdraw my, it wasn't an objection, actually.
Okay. Nick Arena? Okay, he's not here. 9-4-0 against.
Dwayne to the stack.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's time yet to take a stack. I think R. Paul stated a motion. Does he want to motivate it, and then we'll take a stack?
Well, I made my motion. The thing is, we need to discuss.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry, Dwayne. You're saying the motion is passed? Is that a?
We're in.
I think Dwayne is making a point of parliamentary. I'm sorry, Duane, I can't hear you.
I said the motion has already passed. We're at discussion.
Okay, so Duane, so I recognize Duane first. And who else would like to be on the stack?
Alan for the stack.
Okay, one at a time, please. I heard Duane and then...
R. Paul.
Polina.
Alan. Alan, I get confused. Yeah,
R. Paul.
Alan is a first name, so I get confused. But go ahead. Anyone else?
R. Paul.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Chris Corey.
Anyone else? Obviously, this is extremely dire. Go ahead, Duane.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, having 35 years in radio, commercial, and public.
Duane? Can everyone hear me?
Yes, James, I can hear you.
Yeah,
he's on Polina. Is Polina there?
Polina's phone off.
Something might have happened with her phone and it took them both off.
He's dropped off the maestro.
Oh, he dropped off maestro. All right, let's go with R. Paul. After R. Paul is done, we'll go back to Duane if he comes back.
Oh, Polina here. I got dropped off, and Duane got dropped off with me. Let me
you're back.
Connect him again. One second.
Very good.
Thank you.
Back
in. One second.
So, Chair, we have. Am I setting the timer now for 15 minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia. I just sent the
15
letter.
15 minutes was from 7:15. We end at 7:30.
Okay.
No, the time certain was 10:15. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I just sent the letter from CPB. It's 137,506.
Thank you.
And they want it by,
Friday. And we should understand, just I'm going to make a quick comment, stations like Texas play a lot of music, and that's going to, and so does L.A., which is going to, we all play a lot of music, but some more than others. This is going to be very troublesome.
Chair, timekeeper with a question?
Yes, timekeeper.
You want to know when it's 10:29? Is that what you...
Yes.
Or 10:30? Okay.
Dwayne Lark is back. I got shot, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dwayne. Yes, please continue.
Okay. As I was stating, that reason I wouldn't object to this, I recognize after 35 years in radio that having the right to play music is not just critical for Texas, but period. However, what I wanted to point out was one of the members asked, where is this money coming from? Why don't we have the money to pay this and pay that? We certainly got to find a way. Hopefully, Lydia being working as hard as she's worked for the last 4 or 5 months and pulling rabbits out of the hat up to this point, I certainly hope that track record would continue. And I just want to take the time to thank her for her hard, thankless work, for which at least 4 IEDs and EDs in the past several years have done for pay and benefit, and she's doing it for free. Even greater than free, she's spending her own dime and time going around with her neck cut off in some cases, spending her own money with gas and whatever she has to do. So on behalf of the foundation and the members, thank you, Lydia, for your undying work that you've been doing here for free for the last 5 months. I want to point out that $100,000 plus was spent on this last referendum that we were forced into. So when people want to know where the money is gone, and certainly there's no accountability.
Point of order.
Who led that. You can't have a point of order every time I speak when I want to make a point, lady.
I can if I have a point of order.
Well, it's dilatory is what it is. And the
Mr.
All right, let's not, we're not going to have back and forth. State your point of order.
I believe that the speaker is out of order. He is off topic by bringing up the bylaws issue. That's not the point.
I'm going to rule that out of order. He was talking about where the money went, and that's in order for this conversation.
I appeal the decision of the chair.
And this will be democracy, radio free.
All right, Dwayne, please don't engage in crosstalk. I understand. I'm not happy. All right, so we've got a point of order, and we've had a challenge to the ruling of the chair, so let's try and do this quickly. Yes is to support the ruling of the chair that the point of order is not well taken. No to oppose the ruling of the chair. Mr. Secretary?
Is anybody else going to speak on it?
On what? I don't think
appealing
you can.
The ruling of the chair.
Oh, you can speak on that. It's debatable? Okay, I'm sorry.
May I say something in regard to my point of order?
Okay, I guess so, yes.
It's in order. Can you? Okay. I do not want to hear about the bylaws again. This is a political issue, and right now we need to be speaking about raising money to cover the music issue. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
I've been out of order to be bringing up extraneous items.
Okay. Paul, did I hear you?
Paulina to the staff.
No.
On this.
Go ahead.
Yes. This is not an extraneous issue. I want to speak in favor of the ruling of the chair and motivate it in the following way. Under the cover of COVID, we're getting Pacifica Across America, which is the kind of programming that those who favored the yes vote on the bylaws pushed through. And this is what's happening because due to lack of resources, local programming is dying and it's becoming strip programming, national strip programming from other stations, and it's becoming irrelevant. How can you raise money if you don't have local relevant programming? So this is very relevant, what Dwayne was bringing up. So I do uphold the ruling of the chair.
Okay, so I'm going to call the discussion there, 1-4, 1-against. So let's go to the vote.
I believe that was 2-4 and 1-against.
That was 1-1, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I believe Wayne it was 1-1.
Wayne and
one,
Paulina
yeah.
spoke for it, and Teresa spoke against
I
it.
I was beginning to speak on my right to speak, and she interrupted. That was not to support the chair's ruling, ma'am.
Yeah, that was part of Dwayne's time that he had prior. Please, let's move on. This is a very important thing to discuss.
Well, I do believe it's time, since now we're at 7:30, so, you know, we're not going to keep going on with this inane procedural stuff, I hope, and I hope the meeting is ending in 2 minutes when it's over.
Well, I'm going to actually ask if there's would any. I think this music issue is very important. I'm going to ask you if there's anybody who'd like to.
You know, it would be nice if we would talk about the music issue, but we don't, do we?
Are we voting, Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry. Yes, sorry. Let's vote. Please vote. Yes to uphold, no to oppose.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
This is on the appeal of the ruling of the chair. And the chairs just explain how it goes. Please answer when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
I note that we're at time for this meeting, and I
please,
vote
please,
no.
Yes, no.
Order, chair.
No.
Please
no.
ask
no.
to order.
No.
Member to come to order.
Nicarina. Teresa J. Allen.
No.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Abstain.
Dwayne Lark.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. No. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims. Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev.
10:30.
The ruling of the chair.
Polina Vasiliev?
Yes, to uphold the ruling of the chair.
Okay. Nicarina? I think he's gone. Okay, it's 5-4, 3-1 The chair is upheld.
All right, do we have a motion to extend time?
Motion to
extend. Alan moves to extend 15 minutes.
Well, we agree.
Okay, let's You want to make it 15 and 15 makes 30? No.
I object. There's objections. I object.
Okay, so we'll have a vote now. We have to have discussion on that, Paul?
No, we're extending. It's undebatable.
No.
Okay, good. So let's go to a vote.
No
yes
objection.
To extend time, no to not extend time. 15 minutes. Paul?
Yes, okay. Answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
No.
Nick Arena. Teresa J. Allen.
Teresa says yes. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yes, Teresa, thank you.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Dwayne Lark.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Pass. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims. Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Polina Vasilyev.
Yes.
Going back to me. Abstain. All right. 7-4, 1 against 1 abstention, so we're extended for 15 more minutes.
All right. I'm going to have Dwayne continue with his comments. I'm going to ask everyone, let's please try and focus on the music issue. Leave the politics out of it. Please continue, Dwayne, and try and be concise and brief so others can speak. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll try to be brief, but I'm always interrupted. So I'm not going to allow myself to be censured. I serve this country for the right to speak what I want to say. Now, having said the reality is that you have to talk about where the money has been spent. Why we wouldn't have $133,000 in the bank now or close to it. If we spent over $100,000, and in fact we spent over $250,000 in the last 3 years on elections alone. So people don't want the truth to get out, but we are struggling because we do things that are totally inconsistent with what is in the best interest of our foundation. So when you want to hold people accountable, I believe that we should have a fundraiser going on right now. I would agree with the member about that, whether it's local or national. And we're not. This money is not going to come about in the next 2 days or 3 days. Because the fact of the matter is we don't have money sitting in the bank account. So I made those points so that the public will know, without censure, that we could have had that money in the bank today if we weren't forced to have an election on a bylaw that was defeated by over 60%. And more, I'll close with this, that if we do have an appeal to the public, which I think the public will respond to the fact that we need the right to play music. And having 35 years in radio, I do recognize that it's important that our programmers have the right to play music. So this is of utmost importance and why I didn't object to moving my item out of the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. We have our Paul next. Our Paul is next.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a big issue. This sort of thing came up some years ago. I don't remember the year. I wonder if it was 2013. When we first, yeah, it might have been, when we first didn't get audits in and we blew the CPB funding. I brought the issue up then of, is the music payment, is that affected? I was told then, no, it was not. It was separate. I guess somebody didn't tell us the truth that time because of the I haven't looked at the letter yet, but since Pacific has now gotten a letter, this is a really, really important thing here because, one, if you're a radio station and you're playing music, you have to pay for that. Not only do you end up having to pay money, now each individual play isn't that much, but you play a lot of, you know, you add up how much music you play and you see it gets into serious money. Possibly even more important for Pacifica is you need a bureaucracy to keep track of that. And we don't have that. I mean, you know, quite frankly, if you ask all the producers to write down every single thing they play, every piece of music they play on the air, when they play it and how long it goes, you're not going to get that. We have Copyright Confessor, which we're supposed to, which is a thing where we do something like that. We do it a couple times a year in order to satisfy some legal stuff, because we put programming online, and CPB doesn't cover your online music playing. So we see there, and quite frankly, I'm not going to say we don't comply correctly, but there would be a bureaucracy for this that Pacifica could not begin to handle. So this is like a really big thing, and my question to Lydia is there money somewhere, anywhere, to pay CPB, to give them some dough fast? It sounds to me like if we only got it on Friday, the Friday before Memorial Day, and it says you got 1 week to give us $137,000, that doesn't sound quite proper. Although I wondered, did they say anything in there about, you know, this is like your 14th notice or something? And that, in which case, I don't think we can appeal that.
No, I didn't notice that, and that is what I'm so curious about, because I never saw anything like this when I was the IED before, 2015, part of 2015, all of 2016.
Okay.
And so in doing my research on email yesterday for clues, it was that same thing, that we wouldn't have to pay it. But that was internal email between us. I didn't see anything from them saying you don't have to pay it, but I also don't see other notices through from them throughout the email. So I do hope it's challengeable, and I do have a call into the two ladies that are supposed to be handling this so that I can query it, because you would think that we would have been told that we were nearing a deadline and only to have, like I said, a few days. Can we cobble it together? So that's going to be my next email. I mean, today I spent time, you know, talking to our CPB attorney, blah, blah, blah. So all the stations are in Fund Drive, so I'm hoping that we can. All of them are dependent on the music, so I'm hoping we can pull something together very quickly if we have to. First thing tomorrow morning, Eastern time, I'm going to put another call into them, presumably, because it was the holiday. They might not even have been in today. So but the message was left for them since Friday night. So, but I'm going to try them, of course, first thing. And if they don't respond, I'll talk to the woman I did talk to who referred me to them. But anyway, and say, you know, there must be an alternative remedy time-wise. We're not saying we won't pay it if we absolutely have to, but if we can pay it in two parts, that's far more reasonable. And as I said, I'm sending out an appeal. I was doing that anyway, and see what that brings in, but and see what we can cobble together from the stations, because like I said, everybody's in Fund Drive, but of course they're pacing their Fund Drive money to last them for the next couple of months with payroll and central services and health care and all of the other expenses that go along with that, right, over and above all the things that Sharon mentioned that, of course, we owe. But nevertheless, so that's where we are, and it's a matter of just hearing back from them. I'll also copy the finance committee tomorrow as soon as I know something. And I spent all my day today on the phone with the loans and so forth, fixed a couple of snags with the EIDL loan anyway, and so then we'll see. Right now I'm going to let all the GMs know.
All right, so you're going to get the CPB attorneys first, if necessary. You'll even talk to the CPB. Yeah, it's good that we're in fundraising right now, and I would say just grab what you can to pay this off. If it comes down to that, just grab whatever you can, because this is a killer.
I know. I'm sure all of the GMs will see the gravity of the situation if it comes to that. But I really think it's kind of it's not unreasonable for them to ask for the money. It's unreasonable for us to not have heard about it till now, if in fact that was the case.
We have three more speakers, Polina, Teresa, and Chris. So let's try and do it quick. We're running out of time. Okay,
Sharon,
I don't know if we're going to get to you. I apologize.
Yeah, I understand, James. I understand. That's your way.
Let's try. I'm not trying to make a way. We're facing a time limit. And we can try to, we can move to extend again. I'm for that. If you want to make a move to extend, why don't you do it now?
Let's just see where we go.
We have
okay,
4 minutes left.
Okay,
Polina.
Polina, I'll be very brief. Lydia, question for you. So there's a difference between streaming music and podcasting. So we do both on our archives pages, and I'm wondering whether you have that those details figured out. Are we being questioned on our not paying for streaming music,
it's not,
or for podcasting music?
Yeah, it's not that we didn't pay. What happened was is that there was an audit conducted in 2013, apparently, by CPB, at which time there was some reporting that was not according to the metric they had set out for us, and the penalty for that was $137,000, apparently. However, the understanding all this time, from what I was able to gather from internal emails, was that we didn't have to pay it until our regular CPB grants were in order. Again, I don't know where they got that. These were all internal emails in terms of what they understood from CPB. There has to be some truth to it, but there might have been like a deadline where, you know, like that's 2013, that's 7 years ago. And so, but again, it's just the length of the notice to do it seems unreasonable, and I can't believe, it's hard for me to believe that they would not reasonably allow us more time to come up with the money. So I'm not minimizing the importance of dealing with this immediately. I'm going to send it all out to the GM so they're prepared in case we do have to just, you know, get the money from each of the stations for now. But that's all I can tell you, is that it would cover anything that Pacifica does.
Streaming, everything. 10 second follow up. Streaming is cheap. Podcasting is expensive. That's all. I'm done.
Thank you,
James. I'd like to move to extend for 15. This is not going to work.
Thank you. Does anyone object? Thank you.
Okay.
Hearing none. Timekeeper, please reset the clock for 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay, will do.
And now it's Teresa.
Lydia, could we please have a National Day of Fundraising in support of musicians? Because we believe that musicians provide so much to encourage our spirit, to motivate us, to inspire us, to inform us, to lead us, to help us focus, to entertain us, to bring us respite. Could we have a national day to appreciate music, to raise money to support musicians, to pay them for the time that they have on our airwaves? Anything over $135,000, we could give toward our archives. And we could find some musicians. Musicians right now are finding it particularly difficult because I, for example, have a music event at my church. I've had it every month for 28 years until this April. We were not able to hold it. So they're having a difficult time because people can't meet to hear live music. So I think it would be appropriate to have a National Day of Fundraising to support them. Maybe we could find a few musicians that could spearhead this and could actually speak. And I'm finding it particularly difficult because we only have really one person at our station that speaks live, one paid employee that speaks, that is on the airwaves, and I think that people want to give when they can hear you speaking live. Not enough of our programmers can do, have private studios where they can speak live or have the capability of doing that. But with your leadership, I think we should try something like this. And I mean, supporting musicians in the time of COVID when people have to social distance is appropriate. And supporting CPB, which gives them money for every time we play their music on the airwaves, is very appropriate. So can we do that? Thank you.
This is the chair. I just want to comment that this committee passed a resolution some time ago for a day of programming to pay for the audits and for the for NEDA. And I want to say that I think it sounds like a good idea to change it to raising funds for the music, and we might get a little overage that we could use for other purposes. It's a good fundraising opportunity, I would hope. Okay, thank you, Teresa. Let's go to Chris. Unless, Lily, did you have any response?
No, I'll certainly put that in the hopper. I am planning an all-day national fundraising mid-July because I wanted to couple it, because we're in L.A. and we have a lot of progressive celebrities and so forth. I wanted to couple it with our Pacifica Foundation TV, where we could also film them and make use of that for our social media with the.
Yeah, I know you're working very hard for free, and I don't mean to, diminish
that,
but is there any possibility we could do a quick day of sentimental fundraising based on music appeal because of this issue and try and get some money in the door quickly?
I don't think so. I think people aren't aware of how difficult it is to interrupt the programming throughout the network. Everybody is in fund drive this week. So that's the problem, which is now the positive side of that is that they're all bringing money that we may be able to cobble together, right? And then do something after the fact to return the money to them, as it were, because it is all part of the same pot, and as I described before.
Maybe when this news hits the community, they can incorporate it into the current fund drive.
Right. So what I will try to find out is how much KPFK raised. They did that not like just last month ago, and they featured all of the live bands that have performed. We have a live band studio here at KPFK, and one of the Beach Boys gave us the grand piano in there, and all of it is set up for a live band. So we did that. I'll find out how much we were able to raise for that just locally. That doesn't speak for something that we could do nationally. But moving on, we have to come to a resolution within the next 24 hours, I would say, in terms of an extension for this. But I will keep you posted.
I understand. I apologize for using the chair's prerogative to jump the stack. We're going to Chris.
Thank you, James. So, Lydia, thank you very much for sending along this letter. There's a few interesting details in it that I think listeners and the NFC would be interested in hearing. First of all, the money that they're asking for is a return of the CSG block grant that was granted to the network in 2013. I don't have any doubts that this has something to do with the audits, but the specific language of this, that because neither the licensee nor any of the stations has met or taken adequate steps to comply with the CSG eligibility requirements, the CPB removed the licensee and all of its stations from the CSG program. So this is removal from the CSG program. It's not removal from our ability to play music. However, there is a caveat with this, and that's that we have to become responsible for booking all of our music programming that we put on the air, which of course is incredibly burdensome for all the stations, as Lydia said earlier. It would require us to make other arrangements for reporting of music and payments of statutory license fees under the rules established by the U.S. Copyright Office. So that would be registering with ASCAP or something like that and getting all that stuff taken care of. The letter also says that we have 30 days to pay that money. So understandably, that's not a very large window to jump through. But I'm also not entirely certain that why we have failed to comply with the CSG eligibility requirements, because reviewing those, thank you for having a very long meeting tonight, James. I had the opportunity to do this. It appears that it's well within our mission statement to meet those provisions. So I'm really confused as to why the grant was pulled, given that, you know, we do serve the community in a pretty overt way. So I think that there's two possible things going on here. One is that there's the possibility of challenging this. The other is that I don't think it actually puts the kibosh on our music programming, which would be absolutely devastating to stations like WPFW that require us to maintain this in order to keep their audience needs served. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
May I respond?
Lydia? Yes, please.
So it would be prohibitive. We simply do not have the staffing infrastructure, not to mention the fact that I know here we have very few people in the station and so on and so forth. But tracking copyrights is enormous. I remember I used to, a friend of mine was married to someone from ASCAP, and we'd go to all the clubs to see who was compliant. They really check, believe me. But we also have the affiliates who carry our programming. There are extensions to all of this, which are enormous. But as I said, I think that I will read the letter again. I thought it was, well, it says the rights by this week. But I still, the deficiency stemmed from a particular audit that was conducted in 2013. And it was something, I can't remember what I read in this email, but anyway, it was something, it was not like horrible. My question is, you know, why haven't they come to this? Why haven't we gotten more notices about this before? So I will throw myself at their mercy and ask for an extension just on providing this licensing for the music.
Chris, I'm going to recognize you in 1 second. I just want to make a comment real quickly. It says here that the community service grant program is going to end on May 31st, and then under the music licensing agreement, it says as of the termination date, which I think refers back to the termination of the CSG program, which would be this week.
Right. Well, either way, I'm on it tomorrow again, and I'll let you know what they say.
Okay, Chris. Thank you, Lydia.
Yes. I was just going to refer to what Lydia mentioned there. The letter she's referring to was a letter of corrective actions, which was mailed on March 28, 2013. That was a determination and required actions letter. So that's what they're all in an uproar about. So that's the letter we have to locate and figure out what they were actually asking for. Anyway. Just that side point. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you, Chris.
Paulina with a question?
Paulina, I'm going to try and get to Sharon first, and then I'll come to you.
Yes.
Sharon?
Thank you. Thank you, James. And thank you, Lydia, so much for sending the letter. I was reading it also, and I think there's – okay, let me just say that the return of the overpayment is due 30 days from the date of the letter, as Chris pointed out. And that is a separate issue, as I'm reading this, from the removal from the CSG program. And that's why the CSG program removal is effective May 31st, which is obviously much less than 30 days from the date of the letter. So they're not hooked together. And I don't believe that paying the $137,000 is what's required to get the license, the ability to play music back. As I read this letter, okay, and you will be talking with the people, but just for your own knowledge, maybe when you're talking with them, as I read this letter,
what it says is that it's the failure to comply, as Chris said, the failure to comply with the determination and required actions letter dated March 28th, 2013, in which none of they laid out apparently all these things. And we all have heard various times over the years, I've heard that, you know, oh, you know, not having enough listenership, not having CAB meetings. These are all the things that, as I understand it, were laid out in that letter. I've never seen it. But I do believe that those are the requirements. And this letter says, it says that if the requirements that are, that so what we need to do is show that we've fulfilled the requirements. That's what we need to do to get our ability to license this stuff through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's how I read the letter.
Okay, so I just want to respond that they had sent us letters before about KPFK listener numbers and KPFT, but those are like different grants than this one, and so again, I'd have to ask them to send me the 2013. Mallody did not offhand know what, you know, she'll have to research it because John Krigler who dealt with this. At the time, my understanding was that corrective measures relative to the audit were rectified and that the only thing that was missing was this amount of money. So I have to, again, clarify that. And but if – so I have to – anyway, I'll get more clarity once I speak to them, one would hope.
Yeah, just to follow up, I just want to say, yeah, I do believe they're not – it's not the money. So I think when you talk to them, you should say what can you should ask for an extension to meet the requirements in that letter.
Right.
An extension to meet the requirements in the letter, not necessarily an extension to pay the money, because we do have the 30 days to pay the money.
Yeah, that looks right to me too.
Right.
Thank you,
Chair. Yeah, I was planning to ask them for clarification on that. I had seen other stuff that those things were rectified and that the only thing left was the money. But again, our internal. Those were all internal emails, so there we go. That's all I know.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
We're nearing the end of our time. We have Paulina left on the stack. Let's see if we can get her in.
Thank you. I'll be brief. So because programming is our product and we're pitching right now, we're pitching on the air, and the programming is not is stale, right, if it's just pitches with old shows, that's not working. It's not working in Houston. It's not working in KPFK. Now, for Houston, Lydia, you were saying that you were willing to help out with the costs that are necessary. There might not be so much cost involved in, for instance, giving training engineers to do remote broadcasting. I believe other stations are already doing that. Are you aware of that? And if so, is it possible to, you know, to make sure that those, you know, broadcasters who are now stuck at home and are not being able to put their shows on the air do so through engineers who are capacitated to actually put those shows on the air remotely?
I am aware, and I am addressing it to the degree possible, but you have one person there, and that's it.
And they have to sleep sometimes.
Okay. And,
yeah, got it.
So, yeah, so it means calling on people throughout the network, and we're stymied again by not being able to travel. Otherwise, you know, from L.A., like, the trip to Houston is nothing. It's 2 hours away. We could send our folks down there with the equipment and set them all up or whatever it is. But right now, because of COVID, there's just so many things that are not feasible. And we're already doing so many workarounds. And we'll keep improving that because this will be for the long haul, I'm sure.
Let me know how I can help. Thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. I think we are now at our time. Does anyone else care to try to extend? Lydia, do you have anything more you want to say?
No, thank you. Just that I'll be in touch ASAP.
11 o'clock.
That's
yeah.
Very much
okay.
Appreciated.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'd like to say, before we do that, Dwayne, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone. I apologize for my part in so a little bit of a shaky start here. Hopefully that will get better. I appreciate everyone's support and cooperation. And onward and upward, we got some heavy lifting ahead of us. Okay, Dwayne?
Thank you, Jane.
Chair should say this meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. Bye.
Chair
thank you.
Say that.
Thank
okay,
you, Lydia.
Okay, the chair will say that.
Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned.
There we go.
Thank you.
Good night.